Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald joining us. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. How do you feel about this multi, Clarky?
Well, look, I'm with him. I'm with Block. I'm going to back him, of course. I'll give him my cash.
So he's rock solid, morning.
Yeah, I'll hang tight. But my truth is I'm a little nervous. I would have preferred top four. Top two, I just think it's a big ask. But in saying that, I didn't expect her to win her first race either. So who knows? Maybe Block is spot on. I hope he is spot on.
There's a good BSB multi for anyone or all up for anyone to take it. Obviously, your horse, Clarky. But there's another horse racing on the program called I Call Junie Home. Now, there's lots of meaning to do with that horse.
Ooh, bit of a name in there with
I Call Junie Home. Loza.
How do they get such a long name like that?
I call Junie Home.
I like it.
Yeah, you know, as long as it gets past the powers that be, you can pretty much call it whatever you want. But, you know, a lot of names get rejected, Blocker. Mm. Plenty. But I want to ask you about your yarn today. Great yarn in the Herald. I encourage our listeners to check it out. 2002, when Queensland named TBA. And I'm sure you got some... Well, they basically admitted that they pulled off a great rort, didn't they, Queensland, on that occasion with Lottie Takiri.
One of the greatest scams, Jared. We tried to do a bit of an origin history piece. We tried to do one every year, and I sort of found there was 20 years since the TBA scandal going back 20 years ago. So I had a chat to a lot of the different people involved. Lottie Takiri, Wayne Bennett was the mastermind behind it, Jared, which is no great surprise, is it really? And then Jeff Carr was in charge of the New South Wales Rugby League at the time, and it was a fascinating little tale for those guys to tell and have a walk down memory lane, so to speak, and recall all their memories from it, because at the time, it was a massive, massive deal, wasn't it? Remember when they read out the team, they only read out 16 names and said TBA on the wing?
Imagine it happened today.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't.
No way you're getting away with it today.
It could happen today, but people forget, Jared, that Lottie Takiri actually came out and scored a hat-trick in that game, and Queensland levelled the series, and they went on to retain the shield with a drawn game in Game 3 when Dane Carlo scored that try in the final minute. And Gene Miles actually told a great story about that Game 3. He said, Wayne was very clever with how he manipulated the media, and he got Greg Dowling, who just moved back up to Queensland at the time, to put a quote in the paper saying that Dane Carlo, he looks like Tarzan, but he's been playing like Jane lately. And they slipped the newspaper article to Dane Carlo on what happened in Game 3. He went out and scored the winning try.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Just fantastic, isn't it?
Nah, good stuff. Love it. So who wins Game 2 then, and why?
I think New South Wales, Jared, if I'm being honest. Generally what happens with these Game 2s is that one team wants to win, the other team needs to win. Mm, and New South Wales need to win, obviously, after losing Game 1. So I like the team they've picked. I think it's got a much better balance. Don't discount the fact that it's an early kickoff time over there in Perth. It's a 5:50 kickoff local time over there in Perth. So there won't be as dewy surface over there. It should be a harder and drier track. And I think that probably plays into New South Wales' hands. I've been trying to get my head around this hooker rotation all week with Appy Corrissau and Damien Cook. The more I think about it, the more I like it. I'm not sure what Block thinks, but how are they going to use Cookie? What time in the game is the perfect time for him to come in? Do they bring him in 10 minutes before half-time, or do they wait for the second half with 25 minutes or 30 minutes to go? I don't know, but I just think that it's going to be a really potent combination out of dummy half there that can nullify that Ben Hunt and Harry Grant tandem.
Mate, we had Ben Gartner on this morning talking to us about the New Zealand Tonga test. What are you looking forward to in that one, mate? We're all looking forward to the big boppers going at it. But how long do you reckon before Tonga will be a Tier 1 nation?
Well, I can't answer that question, Blocker, because I don't know exactly when they'll be a Tier 1 nation, but they're a serious football team when you look at that squad they've assembled over there for that test match at Eden Park. The one concern that they've always had is playmakers, isn't it? You look at their playmakers, they probably just lack a little bit of class and depth in those playmaking roles at 5'8" and halfback and hooker. You've got Junior Amone from the Dragons going to start at halfback for them there on Saturday, as well as Tony Staggs potentially playing at 5'8". But their forward pack, Block, I can't wait for the battle of these forwards there tomorrow. Look at that Kiwi forward pack. Yes. That Kiwi forward pack is absolutely awesome. When you've got guys like Fisher Harris and Parfeny in the front row with Jesse Bromwich and Nelson Asofa-Sola Solomona off the bench, Braden Smith at hooker, the Kiwi should be a legitimate chance to challenge the Kangaroos for the World Cup at the end of the year. That's to my way of thinking anyway. Obviously, with Joey Marner going back to fullback, if they're going to put a line in the sand, they probably want to beat Tonga and probably try and beat them handsomely. I think Michael Maguire's got a really good squad heading towards the end of season World Cup.
Well, how good is it to see these sides, you know, New Zealand, Tonga, and also the English side at the end of the year in the World Cup? Test footy is back. There's an appetite for it now. Because when Australia used to play, you used to think, Australia's going to win anyway. But I don't think that's the case now.
It's the biggest growth area for the game, Block, isn't it, really, when you think about it? And We need a dedicated window at the end of the year. Obviously, got the World Cup this year, but next year I'm very keen to see what the schedule's going to look like. I hope there's going to be a 3 or 4 week block at the end of the NRL season for them to play some more of these international games, because you're exactly right, Block. Australians don't roll up and expect them to win anymore. Like, I think Australia's going to get challenged by New Zealand. You're hopefully going to get challenged by Tonga at the World Cup at the end of the year, maybe even the Poms if they can assemble a better team. So that atmosphere tomorrow, boys, at Eden Park, I cannot wait to see the war cries and the tribal dances. It's going to be absolutely fascinating to watch.
Great for the game.
And just great for the game that we're seeing rugby league back in New Zealand at all, let alone the Test match tomorrow, but also the Warriors match sold out against the Tigers Sunday week also at Mount Smart Stadium as well, Adam.
Yeah, that's right, Jared. I cannot wait for that atmosphere at Eden Park. Mount Smart next week, obviously, for the New Zealand game as well. So that was sold out yesterday, the Warriors announced it. I'd love to see the Warriors team just try and get a few wins together and try and build that support back home in New Zealand, because we cannot underestimate how difficult it's been for those guys in the last 2.5, 3 years, been playing away from home in Australia. And I think we've seen the longer it's gone on, probably the worse their performances have got on the field. They're really obviously struggling. So it's going to be a very emotional occasion for them to get back home to Mount Smart Stadium next week against the Tigers. Probably not a clash of the Titans, if I'm being fair. But it'll be great to see football, the live football, being played back in New Zealand.
Were you any closer with the Tigers coach, Adam?
Clarkie. I don't know. I think the Tigers were expecting some sort of call from Cameron Serraldo this week, given it was representative round. He didn't have any sort of pressing commitments with the Panthers heading towards a club game. Listen, I know he's thinking about it deeply. Speaking to a few people around the Panthers and the Tigers, I'm not quite sure if he's going to get a call in the next 24 to 48 hours. The Tigers don't want to put pressure on him and say, hey, you've got a deadline by X date to let us know, otherwise they're moving on. But they're also cognizant of the fact that they need to explore some other options if he's not going to come. So how long do you wait, Clarkie? Do you wait a little bit longer? You know, wait another few days, another 2 weeks? I don't know, because they're going to have to try and get the ball rolling at some stage. But I know Tim Sheens has sort of reached out to Cameron saying, take your time, it's okay, don't stress. But by the same token, they're probably going to want to know within the next week or so, I would imagine.
Yeah, great position for Sam Burgess if he wants to be a coach down the track. I know he's coaching up there with the Axemen at the moment, but you've got a choice between the Gladiator or Wayne Bennett. Which way do you reckon he'll go?
Oh, what do you reckon he does, Block? Where would you go?
Well, you know what? It's funny you should ask me that, because I've heard some whispers down the track, and I get some good mail here and there, that Sam Burgess will be South's coach within 3 years.
Sam Burgess will not leave Russell Crowe. I'm telling you right now.
He won't?
Even though going and being under Wayne Bennett is probably the best thing for his career.
For your coaching.
Russell Crowe has been so loyal to Sam, not a chance in the world. And Sam is very loyal as well.
Yeah,
not a chance in the world will Sam turn his back on Russell Crowe and South. No chance.
Can I pose this hypothetical, Clarkie? I'm not sure. I doubt this will happen. But would South say to Sam, listen, go and have 2 years under Wayne, do some work under him for a couple of years, but you're coming back to us in your 3rd year?
No, I don't think they will. Even though I think that would be best case scenario for Sam, I don't think Russell would ever say that. I think Russell thinks South are the best sporting team on the planet, and if you can't learn it at the Rabbitohs, then you can't learn it anywhere.
No, that's fair enough. I completely understand. I think given what Sam has been through post-football in terms of his medical retirement and paid out by South and still earning money from them, he's obviously had some issues off the field as well. South has shown a tremendous amount of loyalty to him in the last 2 or 3 years, and obviously he's close bond with Russell Crowe. I would be surprised if he was to leave the Rabbitohs, but from a coaching point of view, the chance to stand there next to Wayne Bennett for the next 2 years.
Wayne could still mentor him, though. That's the other thing. Sam's got a good relationship with Wayne, so he could still be a mentor from, you know, that from a distance, if you know what I mean. He doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, his assistant coach. And like I said, I just feel Sam is that person as well. He's such a loyal guy. I think he would sacrifice his coaching career or the success of his coaching career or to learn so quickly to honour that loyalty to Russell and the Rabbitohs.
I reckon he's gonna be a real good coach too. But one of the big things you've got to have if you're going to take on the coaching route is to be able to attract players. That's one of the big things. I think Sam Burgess is the type of bloke that'll attract wherever he goes.
Well, everyone loved playing with him, didn't they?
Oh, they loved him. Great leader.
And everyone talks about his captaincy, how good that was. So you'd imagine it's a pretty good start heading into coaching.
Mm. Where does Ben Hornby and John Morris fit in all these boys? Because they're assistants to Jason Demetriou at South. How many cooks do we want in the kitchen? I don't know.
I don't reckon Serraldo will do the Tigers job there. I don't think he'll do it. I think what'll happen then, they'll jump straight to John Morris.
Really?
I reckon that's what the Tigers. Well, I don't know anything, but I just reckon that's the way they'll go. If I was the Tigers, I'd put on a bloke that's already done it. And I know he's had a couple of misdemeanors and all that sort of stuff, but Flano rebuilt.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah.
He rebuilt the Sharks. Mm. So I don't know. I've got nothing to do with it, but that's the way that I'd go.
All right, Adam, racing. And we're cheering for Clarkie's horse tomorrow. Pretty Wild. Race 4, just on the drift. Gee, they're backing one in that race. Pakari Kari, the Bryce Hayes horse, into $3.10. But to give Pretty Wild strength, what's your best there today? Tomorrow at Randwick.
Oh, well, I couldn't do it to Clarkie, Gerard. I couldn't tip his horse because if I tip Pretty Wild, she'll probably still be running on Monday morning the way I'm going. My best value on the program, race four, number four, Nothing Sweet About Me. She failed last start, but had some issues in the stewards' report. She was slow to recover. She was great winning first up. I just think getting out to 1,800 metres third up, the rail in the 6 metre position on her home deck, she can run a huge race around that double figure odd. She's a really solid sort of Saturday class mare in this off season type of year. So that's going to be me there tomorrow, boys. Race 5, number 4, Nothing Sweet About Me, the best value play on the program at Randwick.
I like those sort of names. Yeah, Nothing Sweet About Me, and it's all together. You know what I'd call my horse if I had one?
Go,
Sunil Lavaskar.
You'd do it just to see how to call the handle.
Just to see if they'd put it through. And here comes Sunil Lavaskar.
Race 5, number 4, $10 the win, $2.50 the place. Have a great weekend, mate.
See you, boy. Chat on Monday.